Oh, Microsoft, how the mighty have fallen.
We're starting to see some very, very just damaging things happening to Windows, especially on the back end.
Microsoft is overloading their operating system with a ton of ads, upsells, and unwanted in-operating system content.
Bill Gates is watching the empire. He built Tremble as HP abandons Windows, and key industry partners begin distancing themselves from Microsoft. What started as a quiet cost-saving evaluation has turned into a strategic pivot, with HP reportedly moving to make Linux the standard option on a significant portion of its consumer laptops. And if other manufacturers follow, the 40-year tradition of Windows being pre-installed by default could quietly collapse.
I hate Windows 11, so I'm switching to Linux.
Yes, that's right. On this drive is our next operating system for this PC.
So say goodbye to Windows because we're shutting this down.
Windows conquered the world because it was the one that shipped. It was already there when you turned the machine on. That distribution advantage, baked into every laptop on every shelf and every retailer on the planet, was worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And HP just decided to blow it up. In January 2025, during HP's earnings call, CEO Enrique Lores dropped something that should have triggered emergency meetings in Redmond. Starting Q3 2025, 40% of HP's consumer laptop lineup would ship with Linux as the default operating system. Not as an option buried in a drop-down menu. Not as a developer edition hidden on a product page. As the standard. The thing that boots when you open the box.
I even listened to the naysayers and ditched Windows way last year. And now that Microsoft is forcing their users to upgrade to Windows 11, lots of people are doing the same thing and switching to Linux.
Windows would still be available, but here is the part that changes everything. It would cost an extra $75 and require a specific customer request. In one strategic move, HP inverted 30 years of PC market logic. Linux became the product. Windows became the upgrade. The company that helped put Windows on the map just turned it into a premium add-on.
Well, basically we talked about Windows updates causing Phison-based controlled SSDs, which span a range of manufacturers, to basically under certain use cases drop off and disappear from Windows. And then that would cause a blue screen, and then a restart would either bring the drive back to life or in a handful of cases, not.
To understand why HP did this, you have to understand what Windows actually costs an OEM in 2025, because it is not just the licensing fee. That fee alone is a real per-unit hit on every machine. In the brutally competitive $400 to $600 laptop tier where HP fights for volume, every single dollar of margin is a survival mechanism. But the licensing cost is just the beginning. Windows 11 hardware requirements have become aggressive. TPM 2.0, secure boot compliance, supported CPU generations, minimum RAM, and storage thresholds just to make the experience feel acceptable. Every one of those requirements either increases the build cost or pushes the device into a price bracket where it simply cannot compete.
Look at and then promptly decline the various deals I was getting with Microsoft 365 Personal, with 1 month free or more cloud storage for only $199 a month, as well as a Game Pass premium for another $14.99 a month. Then, and only then, I was in. Finally, I had done it. After about an hour of sitting there, waiting, clicking through unwanted material, I was there.
Then you add the support nightmare. Updates break drivers. Customers call in asking why their machine suddenly runs slower after an automatic overnight update. Returns spike. And in retail, returns are not just lost revenue, they are operational poison. HP ran the numbers and arrived at a conclusion that should terrify Microsoft. On their volume consumer segment, Windows was eating the margin alive and customers were punishing them for it in reviews, return rates, and support tickets. But HP did not make this call based on a bold bet on an unproven alternative. They tested it first, quietly, and the results were so clean they had no choice but to scale.
But eventually, I think Microsoft will incur so much tech debt that Windows just gets worse and worse, and it's going to just be like an exponential graph. As it grows, you're going to have to find other solutions and other operating systems as Windows kind of circles the drain. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen tomorrow.
In March 2024, HP listed 40,000 Ubuntu preloaded laptops on HP.com with zero marketing push, no campaign, no announcement. Lower price point, honest product page, pure silence. Those units sold out. Customer ratings were higher than comparable Windows machines. The return rate was dramatically lower. Support call volume dropped. HP had run a controlled experiment on one of the biggest consumer electronics platforms in the world, and Linux won on every single metric that matters to a hardware business.
No one likes Windows 11. A lot even hate it with a passion. And my algorithm is flooded with videos like these. But as a Linux and macOS enjoyer, I've actually never used Windows 11.
The remaining friction points were real, but manageable. Some Adobe workflows, certain gaming edge cases, niche Windows-only software. But HP's strategy was never to go all in overnight. It was to flip the default where Linux wins most cleanly, which is the everyday consumer who needs a browser, a productivity suite, video calls, and nothing else. That is not a niche. That is the majority of laptop buyers on the planet. The moment HP moved, the rest of the OEM industry stopped pretending they were not watching.
Everyone knows that Windows 11 comes with a big pile of bloat, but can't you just remove that? Well, yes, but it's not easy if you want bloat removed permanently and not just return after a forced update.
Lenovo, the largest PC manufacturer on Earth and a company that built its entire global expansion on a Windows partnership, started talking differently. During an earnings discussion, Lenovo's leadership acknowledged efforts to reduce dependence on any single platform, citing internal demand signals pointing toward Linux-configured devices rising by numbers that would have seemed fictional 3 years ago.
And unlike Mac and Linux, Windows has a lot of settings that are undesirable to begin with. Like the lock screen is just a series of advertisements for Copilot, Microsoft 365 Premium, Edge, Bing, and wait, the weather? Wait a minute, I thought I disabled the location setting when I set it up. So how did Microsoft know that my laptop was currently in Farmers Branch? Well, that's oddly suspicious.
The language was careful and deliberately measured, because Lenovo cannot publicly humiliate Microsoft the way a smaller player might. But the signal was unmistakable. A decades-long partnership was developing cracks. Lenovo began deepening conversations with Canonical, Red Hat, and Google. Their public narrative still celebrated Windows AIPC initiatives. But beneath the surface, the product and procurement teams were building an escape route. If this breakdown is giving you clarity, consider liking the video and subscribing. Because what's unfolding right now is bigger than it looks, on the surface.
The problem doesn't present itself in ways that you would expect. The initial reports were saying that, you know, moving large files, like say 50 gigabytes or bigger, on a Fizon-based drive that was about 60% full, would cause the drive to disappear from the Windows. And of course, if the Windows drive disappears, then memory only has some of that data left, and then it will blue screen and then automatically restart.
That's what makes this moment so significant. Even the partners still smiling on stage are quietly laying track in the opposite direction, positioning themselves for a future that doesn't revolve around the old center of gravity. Dell moved differently. Dell did not hold a press conference. Dell changed its storefront. That is a more honest signal than any earnings call. Quote, because retail merchandising decisions are made by people whose bonuses depend on units sold and margins protected. Dell.com began giving Linux models equal visual prominence with Windows equivalents. Ubuntu preloaded machines were priced lower, pushed harder in recommendation modules, and they delivered something that made Dell's operations teams pay close attention. Return rates on Linux models were a fraction of comparable Windows units.
But look, Windows is inviting me to learn more about the picture they use for the background. Don't you just love your operating system distracting you? I sure do. Clicking on it brings you to Bing. And while you're there, you can also install the Bing wallpaper app. While I do think they're pretty photos, I'd rather have a static photo without any ads. Just a clean, stereotypical picture of mountains with a sunset. It's calming, predictable, and safe. The start menu isn't much better. I've got something on National Bagel Day, a quote, a word of the day, and some trending searches.
Michael Dell's philosophy has always been simple. he follows the money with zero sentimentality. When Microsoft reportedly made calls to discuss the direction of Dell's product lineup, the conversation went nowhere. Dell's answer was in the storefront, and it said everything. When a company rearranges its shelves, the strategic decision is already locked and done. Asus then accelerated the consumer wave by leaning hard into Chrome OS. Their Chromebook Plus lineup began competing directly with mid-range Windows machines, not on specs, but on a pitch that has started to land harder than any benchmark. No forced update interruptions, no ambient advertising, no AI assistant you never asked for appearing in your taskbar, no data collection you cannot control.
Along with the pinned apps in the taskbar, goodbye Copilot, oh, don't forget Edge, Microsoft Store, Recall, Outlook, and off I went, diving into the settings to turn off all the extra features that didn't help my productivity. Gone were the fun facts, the widgets, and other pre-pinned apps. So far, I'm about 2 hours in, I've done zero work.
That pitch sounds like a complaint from tech enthusiasts until you realize it is increasingly how normal everyday consumers describe their frustration with Windows. Asus understood that Chrome OS does not need to replace Windows everywhere. It only needs to own the massive segment of users who need a browser, Google Docs, email, and video streaming. That is hundreds of millions of people, and Chrome OS is taking them efficiently and permanently. The education angle is where this becomes genuinely devastating for Microsoft in the long run, because the student who grows up on a Chromebook does not graduate and demand Windows.
But I don't think a lot of people actually experience Copilot as being that. If it's a bicycle of the mind, shouldn't you be able to decide whether you want to walk or run or take the train or take your car? There's no choice. Copilot is just there, whether you want it or not. And again, it's not easy to remove.
Acer made an aggressive push to exit Windows entirely in the education vertical, going Chromebook only across key markets with a cost argument that school district IT teams found nearly impossible to fight. Boot times are shorter. Update interruptions do not derail lessons. Licensing costs are lower. Support complexity drops off a cliff. Here is the brutal generational math. If you normalize a non-Windows environment for hundreds of millions of students during their formative years with technology, you destroy the familiarity advantage that Windows has relied on for two decades. The pipeline of future Windows users does not get trained. It gets redirected before it even starts.
So Click to Do lets you summarize your text, rewrite it, as well as edit pictures using AI, of course. It wasn't super helpful, and it really slowed down my laptop. Unfortunately, it's not the winner. So next up was Copilot, which is just like ChatGPT. It's not bad per se, but take it with a grain of salt, of course. And if I had to keep one, it'd probably be this one. The last one, Recall, well, that one's a doozy. It's supposed to take snapshots of your screen every couple seconds and promises to redact any sensitive private information. But how does it know what's private?
Then there is gaming, historically Microsoft's strongest fortress, the one vertical where Windows could always claim total dominance. Valve's Steam Deck changed that conversation permanently. It made Linux gaming normal. Not perfect, not without edge cases, but normal enough that millions of the most technically vocal consumers on Earth spent real money on a Linux-based device and reported back that it worked. The psychological barrier that had kept Linux out of serious gaming conversations for 20 years quietly collapsed. Not through a debate, not through a marketing campaign. Through people actually playing games on Linux and posting the footage online for everyone to see.
Microsoft will ask you for all of your data, and opting out entirely is just not possible. When I tried Windows 11 recently, I was genuinely amazed at how much data they ask you to share. They frame this as being necessary to improve the user experience, but I'm not exactly sure how personalized ads in my operating system actually improves my experience and workflow.
At the retail layer, Microsoft runs into a force it simply cannot negotiate with: the algorithm. Best Buy, Walmart, Amazon, and every major electronics retailer operates on margin math and return rate data. Devices with lower return rates get promoted. They get better placement, better recommendation engine weighting, better review scores, which drive more sales, which generate more data, which push the algorithm harder in the same direction. Microsoft can sit across a table from OEM executives and offer marketing deals. it cannot sit across a table from an Amazon recommendation engine and negotiate. When Linux and Chrome OS devices consistently generate better economics for retailers, the distribution advantage Windows has held for 30 years starts eroding through pure math, not confrontation.
It's no longer my PC, it's this PC. A lot of people have commented on this, and it might feel trivial, it's just a different pronoun, right? But I think it really encapsulates the Windows 11 experience. You can't make a local account anymore, at least not without using the terminal.
The geopolitical dimension of this shift is one most tech commentary ignores completely, but it is one of the most permanent forces driving this change at scale. The European Union and multiple member state governments have been systematically reducing their dependence on single-vendor operating systems. The language they use is digital sovereignty. The operational reality is that governments are auditing how much of their critical public infrastructure runs on a closed foreign-controlled platform, and they are funding alternatives aggressively. Germany's Schleswig-Holstein region made switching to open source a formal policy priority. France's national institutions have documented massive Ubuntu deployments. These are not experiments. These are procurement decisions backed by legislation, and they have nothing to do with whether Windows is good software. It is about control. So what does Microsoft actually do from here? Their strategic center of gravity has already shifted toward Azure, Enterprise Cloud, Microsoft 365 subscriptions, and Copilot integration. Windows is increasingly just a delivery vehicle for those services rather than a valuable product in its own right.
It actually reminded me a lot of KDE, where there's an overwhelming amount of customization options, way too many, and your brain just wants to shut down. Gosh darn it, I just wanted to use my OS already, not constantly fight it.
And that is exactly the problem. The more aggressively Windows functions as a services funnel, an advertising surface, a telemetry layer, and a default AI shell, the more it accelerates the OEM revolt. Every Copilot pop-up, every pre-installed app that behaves like monetization infrastructure, every update cycle that breaks something and generates a support ticket, makes Linux and Chrome OS look cleaner and more trustworthy by comparison. Microsoft could simplify Windows radically. It could offer OEMs true clean versions with no bundled services and much better licensing economics on the volume tiers where the revolt is loudest. It has the technical ability to do all of that. But its financial incentives point in the exact opposite direction, because the services attached to Windows are now the entire point of Windows.
I am not impressed. So far, it feels like people were right. Windows 11 is as bad as they say.
Bill Gates isn't running Microsoft, but he represents the belief that Windows would ship on every PC by default forever. That belief is starting to crack, not because a rival built something better, but because thousands of quiet economic decisions are stacking up at once. OEMs protect margin. Retailers cut returns. Schools reduce costs. Governments pursue digital sovereignty. Windows isn't under attack, it's being bypassed. And when the default disappears, dominance follows. If Linux was the standard tomorrow, would you switch? Let me know.